Our connection for this hour will be made on Rochester buses and billboards across the city. You'll see short, unfinished sentences. I keep my cool by blank. My neighborhood matters because blank. I can help by another blank to fill in. This campaign is an extension of the Gandhi Institute's Nonviolence Now project. The campaign reminds community members that now, more than ever, we really need to love and care for one another and to think before reacting. When structural inequalities are exacerbated, interpersonal violence tends to follow. In other words, people who were already hurting before the pandemic might feel like they're reaching a breaking point. How can we avoid that? How can we help and show love and find a path away from violence instead of toward violence? Our guests this hour are here to help explain. Kit Miller is the director of the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Kit, it's nice to have you on the program. Wish I could see you here, but someday soon, yes. How are you?
Same here. Yeah, I'm doing okay, Evan. I'm doing okay. Thanks for giving us a few minutes on the show today.
You got it. China Moorhead, youth educator at the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for having me. Nice. I'm a newbie.
Well, it's nice to have you for the first time, China. Alex Hubble, youth educator at the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Alex, welcome to you.
Hello, thank you.
And Jamie Rudd, marketing and special projects coordinator and garden manager at the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Jamie, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
Kit, why don't you just kind of give me the overview, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from all of the guests about what this is all about. But as I mentioned at the outset here, everyone during this pandemic is dealing with their own issues, their own problems. I'm not saying they're not real. They certainly are. But when we think about people who, you know, might have been already hurting, might have been dealing with a lot of different challenges in life and feeling stressed and feeling isolated and feeling lonely, what concerns do you have? What is really this all about in your mind, Kit?
This campaign, and it's, you know, it's the most recent kind of campaign of the Nonviolence Now project, really came about in mid-March during the Gandhi Institute's annual board meeting. We were reflecting with a lot of worry and gravity around the impact of the pandemic on the social ecology of families and neighborhoods. Immediately, you know, globally, you saw domestic violence rates going up. We recognize that generally, when things get worse socially, structurally, you know, these structural inequalities are exacerbated. Generally, interpersonal violence goes up. Generally, people begin to express their pain to one another in this way. And we wanted this campaign to remind people that there's actually a moment of choice when we can do something different. And we wanted the campaign to help people remember that.
Are you optimistic that that we can reach everyone, that this will inspire what you want it to inspire, Kit?
I don't think reaching everyone is our goal. Our goal is to reach as many people as we can. And I'm glad that my colleagues Alex and China are on the call, because we were inspired basically to create the campaign with our partners at CauseWave, community partners, and especially the two volunteer designers are Judy Livingston and Liz Chatterton. They took a look at the work that we do in schools using restorative practices, and we tried to bring that good work out into the community via this campaign. I can let China and Alex talk about that. So we're reminding people, especially kids in the schools, of stuff they've already been exposed to, and we know that every one of us has experiences of taking care of people, of loving people, and of making choices that they walked when they walked away from a difficult moment. Every one of us has that experience to draw on, and every one of us can choose to strengthen that even now.
And Kit, just one more follow-up with you before I turn to the other guests here. You know, Mayor Warren and Police Chief Singletary recently had some very tough words for the people who have been involved in physical and violent altercations, fights, some very highly sort of publicized and followed. And I'm curious to know, when you see moments like that, given your work with nonviolence, what goes through your mind? Do you find yourself wondering, what was it that lit that spark with them? Do you want to sort of peel it back and understand more? I mean, what's going through your mind when you see those moments?
This conversation came up yesterday in a group I'm in around this terrible tragedy of the man who was killed in Minneapolis by police earlier this week. I think that most of the violence that's taking place does not need to take place. People rise or fall to the level of training that they've had and to the conditioning that they've received. So I think most of the kinds of violence that are taking place now actually doesn't need to take place if we committed to understanding and being able to intervene. I think all of it could be prevented.
China Moorhead is a youth educator at the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Tell me what you think this campaign is all about, China, and what it's aimed at. I mean, I guess what I'm asking you is, what worries you most as we head into summer? More people want to be out, but people have been hurting in different ways during this kind of unusual and hard time. What are you worried about, and what do you think this campaign is about, China?
For me, I think, for one, the thing that I'm worried about is the pain that people are in, and not having a way to express that in a healthy and in a safe way. Because before the pandemic, as you said earlier, there were people who were already in pain. There were people who were already suffering. And I think that this has already, this has exacerbated that. So my hope would be that we can build a more sustainable community where we can rely on each other and we can teach each other, whether that's through social emotional learning, mental health, learning more about our mental health and how this pandemic has affected us, whether you had a strong, whether your mental health was strong prior to this. It has definitely taken a hit. And if you struggled prior to the pandemic, then you're really struggling now. So my hope for the summer would be that we can become more sustainable with teaching one another within our communities how to express themselves in a healthy way, also how to have integrity and hold their truth. And I think that the Gandhi Institute is a place where I would love for more people to actually come and learn these things and be able to become mentally stronger so that we can fight in a different way.
China, what kind of pain do you think people are suffering?
Well, as we mentioned earlier with Mr. Floyd, racism is something that me being a Black woman is something that I'm just born into. Is something that I have had to deal with the pain of since I was able to understand what racism is. I think poverty is something that people are hurting from. I think being undereducated is something that people are hurting from. There's so many things that so many disparities in our community in Rochester. We have people who are making tons and tons of money and have many resources, and we have people who aren't making anything and have very, very minimal resources. And I can't say what I would do if I was in a situation where I had minimal resources for myself. Hmm.
Alex Hubble, youth educator at the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Tell me your thoughts as we head for summer, your concerns and your feelings about this campaign.
I'm very excited about this campaign. We are connecting it to, or it was inspired by the work that we, China and I, do in schools and other youth educators from the Gandhi Institute do in schools, especially in help zones. The way the question is formatted on the buses, or not the question, but the blanks are formatted on the bus ads speak to how we communicate with our students in schools and how we ask them and give them the opportunity to express what they have already done to be like good citizens and to think about their citizenship in Rochester and in their school community and of course a wider range of the Rochester community. So I do have some concerns because I'm worried about my students. I know that there is definitely a gap in terms of wealth and access and connection. I know that many of my students might not have computers and might not be able to do this digital education the way it is right now. And I'm really hoping that the billboards and the bus ads are a way to connect with them, since I have not been able to even reach many of my students. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this is a way for them to see it and to know that I'm here for them and that their schools are here for them and Rochester is here for them. So that's my concern, but I'm hoping that that's also going to be a solution.
Now, thank you for that beautiful message. That's important. It's always important, especially now. Jamie Redd, same questions for you. What do you think?
Yeah, so I think something that I've personally struggled with throughout this time of pandemic and quarantine is the lack of control and just the feeling of powerlessness to the situation. But by presenting these statements to our community, I think Kit touched on this a bit, but it's reminding folks that they have a power to make decisions that are going to affect their personal relationships and their integrity. And that brings a lot of empowerment, I think. And having the open-ended statements is also recognition that what that looks like, what you helping other people or how you find a way to keep your cool and take care of yourself will be different for everyone, but it's something that we all are capable of doing. So I'm really glad that we're able to present that message to our community. And, you know, people definitely are finding ways to do that. You know, people are looking out for each other. Neighbors are buying each other groceries or making masks for one another. So I think just trying to keep up that momentum and remind people that there are innovative ways to get through this together.
The goal is a summer of nonviolence, even amidst some pain, some real economic suffering, poverty, and the fears and sometimes loss that happens during what's been happening during this pandemic. And that's what this campaign is about. And, you know, I'm going to ask China, Alex, and Jamie this because Kit won't be offended because I think they're younger than Kit and me. And sometimes what you need to do is figure out ways to reach people. Just as Governor Cuomo today brought in Chris Rock and Rosie Perez, he's trying to reach communities that might think the governor's a little too uncool or too whatever to listen to when it comes to masking. When it comes to the desire to help people feel heard, to help people feel cared about and loved, to help people feel that there is an alternative to lashing out violently. China, let me start with you. What works? Why are you confident that this might work? Again, as Kit says, not for everybody, and that may not be possible, but why might why might this work? What works with the younger people?
I think in my experience with working with my students at number 17 school is that young people want to be heard. Young people want to be humanized. I think as we grow up into adults, we start to try to tell young people what they should and what they shouldn't do. And with my experience, I've always heard my students say, well, you know, if she just knew this or if he just knew this, you know, the situation may have been different. So I think the way to connect with young people is to say, hey, we're all struggling. Hey, we're all afraid. Hey, none of us want to go outside in 90-degree weather and wear masks, but we're doing it so that we are able to keep one another safe. And none of us are exempt from feeling lost or feeling lonely right now. And to actually more so be with our children and be with our youth and talk with them instead of talking at them and tell them what they're doing wrong. And that's a part of our restorative justice practices. And that's why our billboards are designed in a way where you get to fill out your blank. And we're talking about why does our community matter? You know, so if we start our conversations with, hey, we're both humans. This is how I'm feeling. Tell me how you're feeling. And how can we work together in order to support ourselves and support our community?
That's great stuff. Alex, what works in reaching people?
So I think a lot of what we do at the Gandhi Institute is to listen to others and to make sure that they're feeling heard. And I think that there's something really powerful about someone who's listening. So just like what China said, when students know or when young people know that, you know, they're being listened to, then they get an opportunity to talk and they do want to tell you what's on their mind. And our advertisement, the campaign, the bus ads, they're very bright and vibrant. And I think that that resonates a lot with most people, I'm hoping. But with me, it reminds me a lot of the Rochester youth. I think they're bright and they're vibrant. And a way for us to increase engagement is if I can touch talk about this right now. There is a competition that goes along with this campaign that allows everyone to create content and to be creative as an alternative to expressing their feelings in other ways. So they can create an image or a poem or a video, whatever it is, and they can enter it to win a $100 Visa gift card. And we have the details on our website. So you can go ahead and log on to our website and find it. And submission deadlines are June 8th. So
what's the website, Alex? What's the website?
It's the GandhiInstitute.org website.
All right. Thank you for that. And Jamie Rudd, what do you think makes an impact when you're trying to reach young people and you're thinking, you know, what's going to actually kind of get through and help them see that there's different ways?
Yeah, so just to elaborate or add to what Chyna and Alex have already said, I think, you know, with the open-ended sentences, we're acknowledging that we want to hear what young people have to say and that what they have to say and the way that they're dealing with this matters. And I think, you know, youth are in some ways have been better equipped to deal with this kind of situation because we're used to connecting online. And young people are, you know, already have the capacity to connect with each other through a lot of different platforms. And I think having a virtual side to this campaign and really pushing it out through social media is a really a strong way to connect to young people in Rochester, particularly because it's an interactive thing. And, you know, youth can share on their Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, how they keep their cool right now. And they can see how their friends are keeping their cool. And then they can build off of those ideas from one another. And I think it's exciting, too, when you're seeing your friends participate in something. And, you know, hopefully it'll help, you know, build an even stronger community in a place where they're already used to connecting with each other.
All right. So let's have Chyna, Alex, and Jamie then fill in the blanks there. So Chyna, I keep my cool by
meditation daily.
Oh, wow. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So actually, I picked this up. So I would meditate here and there prior to the pandemic. But to keep my own sanity, it was something that I really clung to. And it's actually something that we decided to do as an organization for 21 days. So I go right on YouTube, which is a very good free resource, and I search singing bowls. And I'll put the singing bowls on. And when I first started meditating, I was only able to meditate for 1 minute, 60 seconds, right? But as time has progressed, I can do a good 5 minutes that's just completely thoughtless, and then things come in. But I've learned how to just kind of absorb them and let them go. So I use YouTube. I'm right here in my living room, and I do my meditation daily. Hmm.
Alex Hubble, my neighborhood matters because?
My neighborhood matters because this is where I live, and this is where my plants grow and where children are.
I love that. How do you feel about the cohesiveness of your neighborhood?
My neighborhood, I think, is really cohesive. I know my neighbor's names. I try to make a point to know my neighbor's names. And even when I think we have a few houses on my street where a lot of them are college students, so they are seasonal tenants, and I do my best to reach out to them whenever I see a new face. So that's how I try to keep it together and keep it cohesive here.
Jamie Rudd, I can help by
growing food to help feed people. A big part of my job is also helping to run our garden at the Gandhi Institute. And we've been leaving food out on our front porch since this started and have had a lot of neighbors coming through and picking up what they need and dropping off other supplies for one another. And it's felt really wonderful to be able to contribute and help people out in that way.
You think we're seeing a little bit more of that? I mean, I think we're seeing some community gardens and some efforts to kind of connect through food in our communities in this city. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. You know, there's an Urban Ag working group that has been in existence for a long time, but definitely when all of this started, there was a big Zoom call with 70 people on it trying to figure out how we can coordinate our efforts and spread education and help people start their own gardens and distribute what they can't eat themselves. So it's been really great to see that.
Kit Miller, you know, I'm glad that that you're able to bring together, and the Ghani Institute is able to bring together, as you always do, these voices across different age spectrums, because I do think the older I get, the harder I may have a time of reaching people. Not to say that it can't be done, and frankly, I think the work that you and your colleagues do is amazing. I don't use the word amazing a lot, but if you could, tell me how you feel about the other voices that are on the line and the work that they're doing, because I think it takes, it does take some relation, some understanding of experience in order to reach as many people as you want to reach when times are tough.
I mean, for me, the thing that gets me in the room and keeps me in the room with people is when we're really speaking from the heart with one another. I don't enjoy hanging out in the shallow end of the pool. I think all of us are hungry for depth and authenticity, which helps to generate a sense of meaning and purpose and trust. For me, that's just a need that cuts across every single demographic of every kind. Mm-hmm. And I just had the blessing of hanging out with 45 people from the Center for Community Health about an hour ago. We were talking about the topic of grief. And, you know, how important it is for us to acknowledge the truth of our experiences with one another and not compare. You know, some of us are unequally harmed by the pandemic, just like some of us are completely unequally harmed by racism or poverty, by violence. And yet we all are implicated. We all are harmed and we all are responsible. So one of the things that we've been doing that I'm excited about is we've been doing these grief and support circles that are online every Tuesday and Thursday. And all of our events that we're doing right now, which Alex and China and myself and other colleagues are offering online, are all the sliding scale starts at zero. So we want people to be with us. So we hope people will come, and it takes courage to grieve. But one of the Kingian nonviolence principles is nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. So we need to be able to be people who have the, you know, the capacity and the courage to acknowledge how brokenhearted we are sometimes. And there's a tremendous amount of energy and vitality that can be released, in my experience, when we have the chance to do that, especially in community with one another.
Kit, I'm looking at, you know, the response to the Floyd murder and some of the events, some of the demonstrations, and some of the emphasis that happens when fires are lit or you know, the various things happen. There's so much emotion right now. There is so much hurt. And I don't at all want to ask you this in a way of excusing anything that might be a response that is violent. I mean, I don't. But I also want to ask you how understandable it is that the grief people feel could be manifested in different ways, and if that concerns you.
Of course. I mean, you know, one of my teachers back in the day said violence is a tragic expression of unmet needs. You know, when people don't trust that they're, you know, and how can we look at yet another death of a black human being in this society and not have rage come up in us if we care about it as a pattern? I mean, the difficulty and the problem is that anger is a tremendous force for change. It's not one that sustains movements over time, however, because people, when they stay angry, they tend to take it out and lash out on one another. So that's one of the reasons sorry to be so self-referential, but we're really working hard to be a resource for people. We've been doing these workshops with two of my male colleagues around anger is a force for change, because we recognize how important it is to feel our anger there's a lot to be angry about. And what do we do with that energy? Because we don't want to just keep getting angry over and over again. We want to create something. We want a system that works well for everybody.
I think you can be.
I want to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Please do.
Yeah, well, just one other quick thing. I've also been hearing some pain from people around the issue of the online spaces. As you know, Jamie was talking about how powerful and important they are, and that there's a lot of grief going on online, even between family members, because of these different ideas about what safety means right now that you were referencing earlier. And so next week we're doing a gathering with someone who you met a couple of years ago, Dominic Barter. He's going to be joining us from Rio de Janeiro. He's been doing a project in Brazil around looking at how do you create online spaces where people can actually talk to one another and where there's a different level. So that's next Tuesday night is Conflict in the Commons, 5 p.m.
5 p.m. next Tuesday, and then whether it's the contest or much more about the various workshops and campaigns. Kit, what's the Gandhi Institute's website?
It's Gandhi Institute, GANDHI.org, and our social media handles are all Rock Nonviolence.
GandhiInstitute.org. Kit Miller, the director, thank you for making the time, and I do hope to see you soon.
Me too, Evan.
And China, Alex, and Jamie, thanks for the work that you're doing in this community now during this pandemic, but always. Thanks for taking time for the program today.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful conversation. Just wonderful. Short break, more connections coming up.